Well, turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, we're going to look this morning at the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the time of year, of course, Christmas. Next Saturday night is our Christmas Eve service, and next Sunday morning we'll have a Christmas Day service, and of course we'll focus on the birth of our Savior. This morning we're looking at a passage where we're saying that some people were searching for the newborn king. We're going to see that these wise men, as we look at this passage of Scripture, there are people called wise men. We'll talk about who they are, and they've come from a long way, and they're seeking the one born king of the Jews. And they go to Jerusalem, and they're raising the question, where is he born king of the Jews? And of course, Herod is there, and they find out, and they bring them all in, and then they find out, and they talk to the religious leaders, and they say, Bethlehem. And so the wise men then travel about 6 to 8 miles south to Bethlehem, and they find the Messiah. As we think about this passage, as we think about this story, I want to raise some questions, and it is this. Who are these wise men? And they're sometimes called magi. Who are they? And how many wise men were there? Because everybody says, you know, we three kings of Orient, you know, the three wise men. Well, how many were they? Where did they go to find Jesus? Because if you have most manger scenes, they're there the night that Jesus was born. I mean, you got Mary and Joseph and the baby, and you got some lambs, and you got the shepherds, and you got the three wise men. But where did they go to find Jesus? And when did they come? And so as we look at this, it might be fun to look through a passage and see how the things fit together in the Bible. I love the Christmas story. Most of you know I never went to church, once when I was 6 and once when I was 12, before I trusted Christ when I was in college. But I knew the Christmas story because we did it at school. I don't know if they do it anymore at school, but we had it at school, and the teacher would read it. And I remember her always reading Luke chapter 2, and sometimes we'd read Matthew 2 at this passage. The story is so famous. We see Joseph and Mary, and an angel comes to Mary and tells her she's going to have a baby, and the baby's going to be the Son of God. And of course, then comes the time, and a decree comes out that they have to go to their hometowns. And since David is a descendant of King, since Joseph is a descendant of King David, they're going to leave Nazareth in the northern part of Israel and travel all the way to the south to Bethlehem, which was the city of David. And when they get there, there's no room, and it's time for the baby, and the baby's born outside. And then there's some shepherds out in the field, and the angel comes. An angel comes and tells them, and then the other angels come and they say, go into the city, good news, great joy to all people born this day in the city of David is a Savior, Christ the Lord. And so the shepherds came and everything. And so what a great story. And we think of the truth of Christmas, how God became a man, that the Word became flesh, that Jesus Christ came, and so he came to be born into this world so he could die in our place. It is Emmanuel, God with us. God so loved the world that he gave his son. But notice in that story, I didn't say really anything about the wise men. And a lot of people think, okay, that night there were the shepherds, and then all of a sudden you look up and three men come in on camels and they've got gifts. And that's what most people think, and that's what I thought until I actually studied the Bible. And we realized that the wise men didn't come that night. In fact, it may have been 2 years later before they came. And so let's talk about the wise men for a second. How many wise men were there? The tradition always says there were three. It goes back, actually, you may not know this, but Lew Wallace, who was a Union general, wrote a book called Ben-Hur, A Story of the Christ. And at the start of Ben-Hur, three men on camels meet in the middle of the desert. They've all been given a message from God, and these three men end up being the three wise men who go to see Jesus. And so a lot of the people believe the tradition of three wise men. Go back to that book. The truth is there were three gifts. There may have been as many as 200 or 300 people. We're going to find that a caravan comes into Jerusalem because the whole city is stirred. And let me be honest with you, three people coming into Jerusalem wouldn't stir the city. And so we're going to talk about it. The second question is, when did they come? And as we look at this passage, we're going to see it was most likely about 2 years after the birth of Christ that the wise men actually got there. And we'll see what happens. So this morning, the wise men coming to find Jesus. Now, I want you to picture this, that Jerusalem was a fairly large city at that time. South of Jerusalem, about 8 miles, was a little town, old little town of Bethlehem. It's a little bit small place. Bethlehem, Hebrew, house of bread. It was house of bread. It was because there was always bread there. It was the city of David. King David was from Bethlehem. It was a famous city because of King David. And so this caravan comes into Jerusalem. And it's a big caravan. And when it comes in, all the city is stirred. And they go, who are these people coming into the city? And it finds out that these people are coming to the city looking for a king, the king of the Jews. Well, at that time, there already was a king of the Jews. His name was Herod. He had been appointed by the Roman government. And so when people came in saying, we're looking for the king of the Jews, the one born king of the Jews, Herod is not going to like that, and we'll see it. Let me show you the outline of what we're going to look at. We're going to see searching for Jesus. They come to Jerusalem. They find Herod, and then they get information from the book of Micah where the king would be born. They go to Bethlehem to find him, and there's great joy. And then the response, it is to worship the king. And so as we look at this passage, we realize that these men have made a trip of about 500 miles to find the Messiah. Well, let's start with searching for Jesus. Let's see what happens. Look at verse 1. Now, this is Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, it says, after the birth of Jesus Christ. If you go back to chapter 1 of Matthew, you find that an angel had come to Mary already, and she's going to have a baby. When Joseph found out she was going to have a baby, he didn't know where this came from, so he was going to put her away privately. But an angel came to him in a dream and said, don't be afraid to marry this woman. The baby is the Son of God. He is you'll name him Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. And so he said, okay, and that was it. And so Joseph and Mary had gone down to Bethlehem for the census, and the baby was born there. Now, why is Bethlehem so important? It's because it was the hometown of the great King David, but it was also the Old Testament prophet Micah said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Now, picture, that would be like somebody saying, okay, the Messiah, is he going to be born in Stillwater or is he going to be born in Perkins? 8 miles away, 6 miles away. Where is the Messiah going to be born? Is he going to be born in a palace? He's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Where would he be born? Well, it says that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Now, Herod was called Herod the Great. He'd been appointed by the Roman government to rule over the Jewish people. Now, Herod was an Iudean, which means he was an Edomite, which he thought, he actually said that he was part Jewish. He was not. But he had done some favors for the Roman government, and so they appointed him over what we call the Jewish region. He called himself the King of the Jews. He called himself the King of the Jews. And he even said that he was Jewish. Jewish people despised him. He was an evil man, one of the most evil men that ever lived. He killed his wife. He killed 4 of his sons. Whenever one of his sons got old enough to be a threat to his throne, he killed them. 4 of them. He was an evil man. He is ruling at this time. It said, now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. In the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrive in Jerusalem. It doesn't tell us where they're from. They're wise men. The word Magi actually was the word for astronomers. It was an idea of people who studied the stars. We believe they probably came from what is modern-day Iran. They were probably Persian. Probably got information about a Messiah and a Savior from when Daniel was in captivity for those 70 years. We know that Daniel taught people the Bible. Daniel was highly esteemed. There was prophecies back in the book of Numbers about a star arising, and the scepter would come. That means the king. Numbers 24:17. And so he may have taught them. And so these astronomer-type men, they had believed that there was a coming king, a coming Savior, and a star appeared. And they saw that star. And they said, let's go find this king. And they start out. And the best we can tell, it may have taken them 2 years to find where Jesus is. And so that's what's going on. So as it says, they arrived in Jerusalem saying, and as I said earlier, don't picture 3 men on a camels, picture a caravan coming into the city. And when they come to the city, here's what they say. Where is he who's been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Now, I want you to notice they said not who is appointed king of the Jews, but who is born as king of the Jews. See, Herod had been appointed by the Roman government, but they're not saying, we're not looking for the one appointed king, we're looking for the one born king of the Jews. If you go back to Luke chapter 1, that's the message that was given to Mary. And he said that he shall take the throne of his father David, and he shall rule over the house of Israel and of his kingdom that will be no end. He's the king. They're coming looking for the one born king of the Jews. This is a threat to Herod. There have been threats to Herod before. There was a sign. It was a star. We don't understand about the star. What caused the stars? There are some people who have gone back, and astronomers, and they've said, let's see if we can find something unusual that would appear in the sky that they may have thought was something special. I think God put a special star there for them to follow. I think God put something there so they could follow. In fact, Numbers 24:17, there shall come forth a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. That star is really the king, but some believe that that was the sign that there was going to be a star. We know there was a star for these people. They saw it and they followed it. Notice what it says. We saw his star in the east, this is verse 2, and we have come to worship him. They've come to worship him. They've not come to look at a little boy. They've not come to just see a man. They've come to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They've come to worship him. They've come to see Emmanuel, God with us. In Matthew, back in chapter 1, it said, you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall be the Savior. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. They're searching for the Savior. We think of Jesus Christ at Christmas time. We think of the baby born. But in reality, we're seeing the Messiah, the Savior, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. We'll look at the response. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. What was Herod? He was troubled. Of course he's troubled. He's been appointed king of the Jews. He didn't want any competition. And what are these people showing up? This big old caravan? All these people coming saying, we're looking for the one born king of the Jews. It says all Jerusalem was troubled as well. It wasn't three men on a camel. It was people coming into town, this just big caravan. And let me tell you what, we're going to see by what the gifts they gave, they were wealthy people when they were coming into this town. Now Herod's got to find out what's going on. So let's get the information. And look at verse 4. Then verse 3 again. Then Herod the king, when he heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Now what did he do? He called the religious leaders in the Jewish people. They had people called priests, and they had people called scribes, and there were Pharisees and Sadducees. Pharisees were sects, Sadducees were sects. Scribes were people who copied the Bible. They were known as the scholars because they copied the Bible over and over again. They knew the scripture. So Herod is smart. He calls in the priest, and he calls in the scholars, and he says, can you tell me where the Messiah, the Christ, is to be born? Notice what it says. Gathering together the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. The word Messiah is the same as the word Christ. Christos is Greek, Mashiach or Messiah is Hebrew. They're saying, where is this king? Where is this Christ? Where is this one to be born? They knew. Herod said, something's going on. I want to know what's happening. Let me ask you a question. Where do we find Jesus? They're trying to find him. You know where he is now? See, at the right hand of the throne of the Father. He's come to the earth. He died on the cross. He paid for sin. Walked on the earth for 40 days. He ascended to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the throne as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Savior of the world. And how do we find him? It's simply by faith. The Bible tells us that God loved us and sent his Son, and whoever believes in Jesus will never perish but have everlasting life. At Christmas time, we can help people find Jesus by telling them that he indeed is the Savior, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. I read a little thing the other day that said, wise men still seek him. He is the Savior. Now, where would we go for answers? If somebody came up to us and said, what about this? We'd go to the Bible. Well, the religious leaders do the same thing. When Herod came to them and said, where is this Messiah to be born? Look at verses 5 and 6. They said to him, well, in Bethlehem of Judea. For this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler. From Bethlehem will come the ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Bethlehem is 6 miles to the south of Jerusalem, a little bitty town. And they go back to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and they read the verses. Now, I want you to understand something. You may not have realized this. There were actually two Bethlehems. There was a Bethlehem in the northern part of Israel. There's a Bethlehem in the southern part of Israel. Bethlehem in the southern part of Israel was in Judah. That's why the passage in Micah says, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, to make sure that they knew exactly which city So there's this little town of Bethlehem, King David's hometown, and the Bible actually said the Messiah would be born there. Now, I've got something I want you to think about. I want you to think about three questions. Where did he come to? That's talking about Jesus, the Messiah. Where did he come from, and why did he come? Well, the answer, first of all, where did he come to? He came to Bethlehem. He came to the city of David. He left the glories of heaven and became a human being. He was born as a baby. I think it's one of the most amazing things to think about, that the Son of God, who is the eternal God, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, eternal God, at a point in time in history, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to become a human being and was born as a baby in Bethlehem. Out of the small village came the shepherd and the king. Notice it says, you will be ruler and you will shepherd the people Israel. So where did he come to? He came to Bethlehem. Where did he come from? Well, the bottom line is he came from eternity, from heaven. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says his goings forth are from long ago. It says from eternity. It actually says that the one born in Bethlehem existed before he was born in Bethlehem. In fact, it says he has always existed. So Jesus Christ, the one born in Bethlehem, is the Son of God who has existed for all eternity. His goings forth are from long ago. He is the God-man. He is the eternal God who became a human being. He did that for us so he could die in our place and pay for our sins. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, unto us the child is born, unto us the son is given. The child being born, that's his humanity. The son being given is his deity. He has always existed. Philippians chapter 2 says Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and humbled himself to become a human being and then humbled himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross. The third question is, why did he come? The answer is very simple. He came to be the ruler, Isaiah 9, 6. He is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. He is the Counselor, God, existing always, the Prince of Peace. But there's more. He didn't come just to be a ruler. He came to be the king, but he came to the cross. He came to die. He came to pay for our sins. When we think about Jesus Christ, he came the first time to die. He will come the second time to reign. We've been studying in our Sunday school, our girl groups. We've been studying the end time events, and we understand Jesus Christ came the first time to die. He comes the second time as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to reign. So this time, this cross must come before the crown. And so when he comes in Matthew, being born in Bethlehem, he is coming to die. Now, I want you to understand that these religious leaders knew about the Messiah. They knew where he was to be born. They knew that he had been born because of these wise men coming 500 miles. And they would not make a trip 6 miles to see him. While these Gentile people from Iran, from Persia at that time, made a 500-mile trip to see him. What about our country? Jesus is everywhere. When you can turn on the radio, you can turn on the television, Jesus is in our country, but there's so many people that just continually miss him. They don't want to know him. Well, what happened? Let's see the discovery. They're going to go to Bethlehem and find him. Now, watch what happens. Verse 7, watch what Herod does. When Herod secretly, then what he did is he secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. Now, I want you to think about this. He calls them in and says, okay, listen, y'all said you saw a star and you followed it to find him. About what time did you first see the star? And you know what they're going to tell him? They're going to say, it's about 2 years ago. Now, you may say, 2 years ago? Yeah, it took them that long. Listen, how do we know that? If you look down a little later, in verse 16, Herod killed all the little boys in Bethlehem 2 years old and under, according to the time that the Magi had told him they first saw the star. So it's been about 2 years. They're not looking for a baby in a manger. They're looking for a little boy. That's who they're looking for, about a two-year-old boy. And Herod knows this. Herod secretly called the Magi, and he determined from them what time did the star appear. And they said, it's about 2 years ago. So Herod knows that. And so here's this plan. Look at verse 8. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, look, go and search carefully for the child. Notice the word child, it means little boy. So carefully for the word child is the Greek word paideon, which means little boy. It says, and when you have found him, report to me so that I may come and worship him. Now, here's what he tells them. He says, listen, I'm not going to take the time right now, but if y'all would go find him for me, that would be so wonderful. And when you find him, let me know. I would like to come worship him also. Now, we know Herod, and we know what kind of man he is. He didn't want to worship Jesus. He wants to kill Jesus. Jesus is a threat to him. He's the king of the Jews. He didn't want anybody born king of the Jews. He's lying to these men. He's telling them, go down there, find him. When you find him, come back and tell me, and I will just go down there and worship him. What he wants to do is go down there and kill him. When we think about Jesus, we realize there's two ways to respond to Jesus. You can worship him, or you can reject him. And there's many people in our world who have put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and they worship him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there are many of those who reject him. We'll see what happened. Verse 9, after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. Now, the best we can understand is they saw that star originally 2 years ago. It took them probably a time to get everything together, and now they've been traveling, and they finally, and some believe that when they got close to Jerusalem, the star disappeared. And they probably figured, well, where would the king be born? The capital of the Jews is Jerusalem, so that's why they stopped in Jerusalem and said, where's the one born king of the Jews? That wasn't the right place. And when they come out and they get ready to leave Jerusalem, guess what happens? The star appeared again. It says, and after hearing the king, they went on their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. Look at verse 10. When they saw the star, they went, there it is. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, I want you to see something. It says they saw the star, and it went before them, and they stood over the place where the child was. Something special here. It didn't say they came to a manger scene. It said they came to a place where the child was. And the Greek word for child there, as I said a while ago, is paideon, and it means little boy. There is a Greek word for baby. It's brephos. It's the word used for a baby in the womb. It's also used for a newborn infant. And so if you said brephos, you mean a little baby. If you say paideon, you mean a little boy. This word says, and they came to the place where the little boy was. And there was great joy when they saw the star. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Well, what happened? What's the response? Well, look what happened. It says, and they came into the house where they saw the child, the little boy with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and they worshiped him, and they opened their treasures and they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Listen, they came into a house. They didn't come into a barn. They didn't come into a place where they have animals. They came into a house. And notice, it's a little boy. It's a child. It's a little boy. It's not a baby. He's almost two. So when people have always said, well, weren't the wise men there the night Jesus was born? No, they were not. They were there almost 2 years later, and they came to a house, and they came to see a little boy. And notice it says, and they worshiped him. They fell to the ground and worshiped him. Listen, their response to the Son of God is worship. What is our response to the Son of God? Why did we gather this morning? We gather every Sunday morning to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. We've come to sing the songs and praise his name. We've come to pray, to give, to study. All of these as acts of worship. Worship is responding to God. A guy by the name of Harold Bonner said, worship is recognizing the worth. Worship is saying, good gracious, that's who he is. Some people say, well, I came to church, but I didn't get anything out of it. The goal of coming to church is not to get. The goal of coming to church is to give. You're giving worship. You're responding to Jesus Christ, your Savior, your God, the one who saves you, the one who gives you eternal life. Now notice it says that after coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him, and then they opened their treasures, literally in the Greek, treasure boxes. It's boxes. They have some boxes. They said, we got something for the little boy. We got something for the king. We've got something for the Messiah. That's what they're going to give. And notice what it is. They opened their treasure boxes, and they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why? Well, first of all, I want you to think about gold. Gold always represents deity in the Bible, and he's the living God, but it's given to him as the king, as the righteous, holy King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And then they gave him frankincense, which is a sweet-smelling perfume, but it was a perfume that was used when they offered sacrifices. The priests used it. Remember, Jesus is the king priest. He is the one born king of the Jews. He is the one that offers the final sacrifice for sin forever, which is himself. He's the king priest. So they gave gold, frankincense, and then myrrh. And myrrh was used at death and burial. When a person died, they wrapped the body up. They wrapped the strips around them. They took myrrh, which was sweet smelling, and they rubbed it on the body so that as the body decayed, it wouldn't smell so bad. And so they have Jesus, and they say, gold, because you're the king. And we got this frankincense, because you're the priest. And we got this myrrh, because you're coming to die. That's why you've come. What is your response to Jesus Christ? My prayer is this, if there's anybody in this room that has never put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, that right now you will trust in him and him alone for eternal life, because that's who he is. He's the king and the Savior. He came and died and rose again and gives eternal life to all who believe. For those of us who already know Jesus Christ as Savior, what's our response to the king? It's to praise him, it's to serve him, it's to worship him. As Romans 12 says, we offer our lives to him as living sacrifices. Well, what's supposed to happen? They found him, they've given the gifts, and what's they supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to go back to see King Herod and tell Herod where this young boy is. That's what we're supposed to do. But notice verse 12. There's a warning. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. God said, do not go back and tell that man who this boy is. Do not go back. And so they left. You realize God has given a warning to all people, and that is the wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ came and died. And whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. God has a warning for mankind. We all need a Savior, Jesus Christ. The wise men left having worshipped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah and the Savior. Now, you remember what happened? And we didn't read this a while ago, but you remember right after that, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up and take the child and go to Egypt and stay there until Herod is dead, because he wants to kill the baby, the boy. Now, you know something about Mary and Joseph. They had no money. When they lived in Nazareth, they had no money. When they got down to Bethlehem the night that Jesus was born, they had nothing. They stayed in an inn. We don't know. Maybe Joseph was a carpenter. We just don't know how much money they had. But when they offered on the eighth day after the baby was born, every Jewish family had to offer their child. If it was a boy, on the eighth day they went in there and they named him and they offered a sacrifice. And there was a sacrifice of a lamb. There was a sacrifice of a goat. Both of those were expensive. If you didn't have enough money to buy a lamb or a goat, you could buy a bird, a little bird. Joseph and Mary, when you read the scripture, when they took Jesus in there to give him his name, they offered a sacrifice of a bird. They had no money. Now God tells them, you got to get up, you got to make a trip to Egypt, and you got to stay there for possibly several years. How are they going to have money to make that trip? How are they going to have money to live? Well, guess what? They just got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They just got a whole bunch of gold. They just got a whole bunch of frankincense, which is very expensive, and myrrh was very expensive. Do you guess what? They got some money. They got enough money to make the trip and live in Egypt until Herod is dead. Best we can tell, they may have lived in Egypt for 3 to 4 years, because Herod lived on after this, and most believe that he died 3 or 4 years from this time. So they may have been in Egypt for 3 or 4 years, but God gave them the money for the trip, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wise men, having worshipped the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, and the Savior, Jesus Christ, may we, this Christmas, worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me give you some applications. Let's think about this. Let's make known the message of Christ. What's Christmas all about? Christmas is about the Savior, the King, was born in Bethlehem. We're telling people that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he is the Savior. And by the way, the great truth is that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved. Jesus is the Savior. We need to make known to people there is one way to God, and that is Jesus, and that's what Christmas is about. Now, you know, my family watches Hallmark Christmas shows, and they're all cheesy, and they're okay, and I kind of like them. But, you know, they'll say stuff, the real meaning of Christmas is being with family. No, the real meaning of Christmas is not being with family. We all want to be with family. The meaning of Christmas is the Messiah and Savior came into this world so he could give us eternal life. The meaning of Christmas is the birth of the Savior. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not a happy holidays. It's a merry Christmas, whereas we're worshiping our Savior who was born. We're remembering the one who came into this world and died for us. He is the mediator. He is the one born in Bethlehem, the Savior of the world. As I said earlier, if there's anyone in this room who's never trusted Christ, right where you're sitting, you understand that the meaning of Christmas is that Jesus Christ was born in this world so he could die for us and pay for sin and rise again and offer the gift of eternal life. Whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. For those of us who know him, what do we do? Let's respond. Let's think about this. Let's respond to Jesus Christ in worship. And for those of us as believers, may we worship Jesus Christ, giving him the gift of our lives. Now, we're not talking about salvation. We already trusted in Jesus Christ. We took the gift of eternal life, which comes by faith. But our response to our Savior is to worship him. And we do that every week when we come together, but even at this time of the year, when we think about Christmas and Bethlehem and the baby being born, the baby is the Savior. So let's focus on worshiping our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we proclaim the message of Christmas, that God's Son is born into the world, and may we worship him as our Savior and our God and our King.